Over the last few Sundays, as we've been looking at the art of neighboring, we've been talking about things like hospitality, opening up our home, learning the names of our neighbors that are around us and writing them down, taking initiative to reach out to them, to get acquainted. And so a lot of what we've been talking about in the last few Sundays is simply getting acquainted, getting to know people, taking that step, even though, wow, this is going to be a little awkward, I don't know this person, but I'm going to take initiative and get to know them, and pray that the Lord would bless and bring about divine appointments. So we've been talking a lot about acquaintance, but today I want to talk some more and talk about relationship. Okay, talk about, well, stages of relationships. All right, so in a relationship, there's different stages that we go through. Stage number one is acquaintance. You learn someone's name, you start to get to know them. That's stage one. And so we want to get past stage one. Stage two in a relationship is mutual interests. Okay? So you figure out where you have common interests. And that strengthens a relationship. That helps to grow a relationship. When you both have things in common, look for those things. The next stage of a relationship is common goals. You both have common goals. For example, if you're a dad, you have kids, then you and I as fathers and husbands, we have common goals. We want to be a good dad. We want to be a good representative of our Heavenly Father to our children. That they would get a taste for how good our Heavenly Father is based on our love and our actions. So we have a common goal. We all in here have a common goal of being made more in the image of Christ. We have that common goal that we share. And so the fourth stage of a relationship is accountability. Accountability for each other's character development. Okay? Paul, I'm responsible in your spiritual growth. I'm going to hold you accountable. Same for you, Clint. I'm responsible for you and your spiritual growth, as you are responsible for me. We're going to hold each other accountable in that growth. So we're getting to that fourth stage. That's where we want to be amongst our brothers and sisters. We're holding ourselves responsible for each other and holding each other accountable. So those are four stages. And I just went through those briefly. Pastor Bob, I love you to death. And I've heard Pastor Bob teach on these things over the years, and they've slowly become mine. And so I'm learning from these things, but Pastor Bob, I appreciate very much what you've shared over the years. And it's been a huge blessing. Pastor Bob has shared these things from his time in the Word and his time before the Lord. But what I want to focus more in depth on this morning are not the stages of relationship, which I just said, but we're going to focus more in depth on the laws of relationship. the laws of relationship. And there are four of those, and we're going to go through them. And honestly, Pastor Bob, I think that they are similar. I think they're related with the stages of relationships. So the first law of relationship, and kids, I want you to listen carefully. Kids, I'm turning 40 years old this year. That's pretty old, isn't it? And
yeah, I'm turning 72.
I know, I just said that and I thought, well, that just probably made some other people feel really good. But anyway, these laws of relationship, I'm learning these and I'm practicing them. I'm getting better at them. But I'm going to be 40 years old. I wish I would have been learning and practicing these things when I was a kid. This is important. In his timing, yes, but good grief, kids, listen carefully. Start practicing them today, all right? Learn these right now. Let's pray that this is God's timing for the kids. So, but praise God. But praise God, he's showing them to me. So the first stage or the first law of relationship is that there needs to be a point of exchange. There must be a point of exchange. And again, this is related to acquaintance. There's got to be that point where we take initiative and get to know someone. There must be a point of exchange. Our example in that is the Lord. Our example in having a point of exchange is this. God proves His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God took that initial step in our relationship with Him. He saved us. We were drowning in a lake of our sin, and He reached down and pulled us out and rescued us. He took the first step. He initiated our relationship with Him. As I've been looking and studying this, a saying that I've already told you but has just been imprinted on my heart, and I want it to be imprinted on your heart, is love the sinner, hate your own sin. Love the sinner, hate your own sin. God took the initiative to save sinners, to save us. We need to take that initiative to build relationships with those who are still drowning in that lake of sin. And so don't hate the sinner. Don't hate their sin. Recognize your own sin. And think about God's great love. How much He loved us, that He would save us. He took initiative. And so we need to take initiative. We need to do the same. We're not going to wait around for them to come to us. How many relationships do we have where we're waiting for that? We're waiting for them to come. The ball's in their court. No, get the ball. Ball's in your court. We're going to go through these, I said in depth, but actually we're going to go through them kind of briefly because I want to have some time for you to share at the end. The next law of relationship is giving. The next law of relationship is giving. And of course, again, our example in giving is our Heavenly Father, who so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Pastor Bob's going to share some tonight about God's love, about our Heavenly Father's great love for us, which we neglect. We don't focus in. Pastor Bob, the question you were asking this morning, if God knew, and He does, He knew all things, if God knew that Adam and Eve were going to eat that fruit, if He knew that sin was going to curse all of creation and mankind would be cursed with sin, He knew. It wasn't catching by surprise. He knew. If He knew that, why would He even go through with it? Why? Why would He go through with that? And the answer is so that we would know God's great love. We would know how much He loves. How much He loves us. That is the height of God's glory and majesty, is His love for us. It is so great that He would send His beloved Son to die on the cross and to take the sin of the world. That is how much He loves us. And so that is our example for giving. And going along with this law of relationship, this is true. The deeper the giving, the deeper the relationship. The deeper that you give to others, the deeper that you make sacrifices to help others, the deeper your relationship will be with that person. Philippians 2:4 says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also to the interests of others." We're to look around and to seek the success of others and to give sacrificially that others succeed so that others will be successful. We're to be about other people's interests. Many of you know Sam Tucker. If you know Sam, you know that he's really into flying drones. He flies those little helicopters with four. I don't know what they're called. Propellers. Thank you, Steve. But he's really, really into that. Sam and I started growing closer in our relationship, and I wanted to disciple him, wanted to mentor him, and he was really into drones. And he was so into it that he wanted to, and he still, I think, has this in his heart, to make a career out of this, to make it a profession, part of what he does. To be honest, at first, I thought, all right, we need to steer him away from this. We need to get him ready for the world, responsibility, job. Let's get him, you know, let's get him down the right track. Lord, let's work on this. But thankfully, the Lord stopped me right there in my mind. Said, no, he's interested in this. You need to show interest in it too. And encourage him in this. And so, anyway, Sam, he entered into a competition, a worldwide competition where you fly drones in a simulator. You think, oh, it's a video game. No, it's a simulator. Your joystick actually is real life, gravity, wind, everything. It's all in there, just like flying an airplane simulator. People trying to do that. It's a simulator. And so he entered this competition, and we prayed and prayed, Lord, help give Sam ability. Help him to have wisdom to do this well. Lord, help him to bless him in this. Lord, if this is your will. And if he won this competition, this is a worldwide competition, he would be sponsored by drone companies. He would travel around and be fully paid to go around and fly drones and talk about drones. So we prayed through this competition, and he would even send me videos, and I'd watch, you know, him racing through these little tunnels and circles, and everyone's racing. And he would place in good positions. Like, yeah, Sam, we were excited about it. Anyway, in worldwide, he ended up placing 13th in the world. That wasn't enough to get him the job sponsored to go around and fly drones and talk about drones. He actually got money out of it, though. He was paid 13th in the world. But him and I prayed and prayed through that whole situation and through all those races. And we came closer together through that time. And it was such a blessing. And so giving is not just giving of money or resources. Giving of your time is the most valuable thing you can give. And taking on the interests of others, that they would be successful in those interests. That was such a blessing, and I'm just learning how to do it. And I'm almost 40. Kids, learn this very young. Be about the interests of others, their success. You're going to have strong relationships with others when you do this. You might not be so into it, but they are. So be interested. That kind of goes along with the next law of relationship. The next law of relationship is that we are to accept each other. The next law of relationship is to be accepted. We accept each other. We must receive each other. And again, our Lord is the example of this. Our Lord is the example. God has received us and adopted us as children. And we must strive to receive others in the same way. Here's an example of receiving others. And this is related to marriage. This is very important for marriage. When you marry someone, you receive them. You're committed to them. You are steadfast in loving them. You are committed. This is part of the problem that we see today in those couples that cohabitate, which means they move in together before marriage. They share a relationship with each other outside of marriage. The biggest problem is that's against the Lord. The Lord has commanded that the two would become one flesh and enter the covenant of marriage together. But one of the big problems about this is that when you cohabitate, you have not received each other in the way that you should. You have not committed to each other in the way that you should. So you cohabitate together, you live together, and all of a sudden, you start seeing these flaws in this other person. And they're blaring. Oh no. That is scary. All right? And you're thinking to yourself now, I am so thankful that I did not commit to marrying this person because I would have to deal with that. And I don't want to deal with that. And so they exit the relationship. Do you see how that's a major problem? Because any relationship that you're in as a couple, there's going to be those things that are blaring and ugly. And they're going to show up. They're going to come. There is no question about it. Those things are going to come. Ask Julie. But when you have entered into that committed relationship, when you've received that person unconditionally, your thought process changes. When you see that ugliness, you think, okay, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to work on this? How are we going to grow through this and mature past this? Because you've made a commitment. There's no getting out. You're married. This is, we're going to get through this. Who was that? And so we have to have that commitment with each other. That same level of commitment. Our Father is our example. He's adopted us as children. He's not given up. He sees the ugliness more than anyone else, but he's going to be faithful to work in us. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work according to His good pleasure. And so we need to receive each other in that same way. We're gonna stand by each other. We're gonna be committed to each other. We're not gonna let that ugliness weaken our love. We're gonna be committed to love. This is a key to parenting too, right? Key to parenting. Parents, your turn. Listen. As we were talking about this one time, Pastor Bob, I asked Pastor Bob, I said, "Look, Pastor Bob, how do I show my children that I accept them? How do I let my kids know that they're accepted? That I love them?" And Pastor Bob said, "You play with them. You get down in the dirt and get dirty right along with them and play with them. You enter into their world. Like we already talked about, you be interested in what they're interested in." Kids, remember that too when you're parents. You play with your children. Then they'll know that they accepted. Dads, wrestle with your boys. Wrestle with them. And probably your girls too. They're going to want to wrestle. We can't just be harping on them all the time, correcting them all the time. They need to know that we accept them and love them and that we're interested in what they're interested in. That was very timely, Pastor Bob. I needed to hear that. And so I hope that helps. We need our kids to know that they're accepted unconditionally and that they are not rejected. All right, and then the fourth law of relationship is this. Allow each other to speak truth. Allow each other to speak truth to develop proper character. In other words, we need to be willing to be corrected. And we also need to be willing to correct. In love. In love. In love. And our Heavenly Father, again, is the perfect example of this. All right, get out your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're just going to look at a couple verses. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He doesn't just leave us in our ugliness. And so we must value God's correction. We must value His correction. It's done in love. And in the same way, we're to love each other. We're to be responsible for each other's spiritual growth. We're to pray, "Lord, help me to love this person. Lord, help me to know the scriptures I can bring to this person to help them. Lord, please work in this person. I trust that you will be the one to change and work in this person." And the problem is that we're immature. I'm included. We're immature, and what happens is when someone in love comes to correct us, we see it as rejection. And we can't do that. We can't see correction as rejection. When done correctly in love, it is an act of love. All right, so Julie and I were listening to a podcast about John Wooden this last week. And we were just blown away by John Wooden, okay? Some of you are like, "Well, of course, you know, John Wooden, he was the best coach ever to live." Well, I don't know much about John Wooden, and it was very interesting to hear about him. I'd be interested to talk to you, Craig, about him sometime, to hear more about him. And the look on his face just told me that he knows. But John Wooden was considered the greatest basketball coach of all time. Won 10 championships as the coach of the UCLA Bruins within like a 12-year period. And he was a Christian. He was a Christian man. And in the way that he coached, he taught his players, look, the win is not the thing. Win or lose, that's not the thing. The thing is if you gave all your got all that you have, you did the absolute best that you could. If you did the absolute best you could, win or lose, you succeeded. If you did the best that you could. And so he's got a lot that he taught him, but he focused on three things. He focused on conditioning. All right, they're gonna be conditioned. They're gonna run, they're gonna be fit, so that in that last quarter, they're not too tired to make those shots they need to make. They've got the energy and the strength they need to make it through the whole game. They're going to be conditioned. They're going to know the fundamentals, how to pass, how to shoot, how to defend. And me trying to talk about basketball is making me kind of laugh right now. But he wanted them to know the fundamentals so well and to do each of them. Pass, shoot, defend, all of them. You needed to know the fundamentals. And the last thing was teamwork. The team needed to be one. They were working together. There wasn't showboating. There wasn't a one-man show. Each person working for the sake of the other as a team. And as Julie and I were listening to this, we're thinking, man, the carryover to the church is so applicable. There is so much here that carries over to the church. You see, because the great commandments are these: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the great commandments. Those are what we are to be growing in. Those are our goals, that we would love our Father, that we would learn more about His love for us, that we would spend time with Him, that we would grow in His Word and in prayer and in these things. And then being a good neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, that is at the top of the list of the highest priorities that we have in our entire life, is that we are good neighbors and that we love each other. Job, finances, those things pale in comparison to the priority of loving and being a good neighbor. That is our top priority, our goal. And so as a church, we are to be conditioning ourselves to go out and grow in relationships and love others and disciple and grow in relationship. As a church, we should be strong in the fundamentals, the truth, the doctrines of the faith. And teamwork, that would be working together to grow in these things. So, Julie and I ordered his book, his biography. We're going to look through it and read about John Wooden and just see all the biblical principles that are within his teaching, in hopes that we'll grow, and as a church, we'll be able to influence and grow as a church to be a team, to grow in these things. And I'd like to go ahead and ask Dennis if he would close us in prayer.
Shall we pray? Our most gracious and holy Father, we have come together today to glorify your name and come into your presence. We thank you and give you honor this day for what we have heard, what we have experienced. Help us to leave this place and carry that with us and show a light to those around us who we come in contact with. Guide us, direct us, open us to contacting our neighbors and the people around us to let them know that you are a God that cares. Guide us now as we leave this place. This we ask in thy most holy name. Amen.